You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Welcome to another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Now today, I'm really excited to speak with business mentor, strategist, and founder of the Owners Collective, Prue Chapman. Have you ever considered upscaling and taking the next step in business? Don't worry, it's pretty daunting for most of us humans. Not too many know where to start, get stuck on finding the key aspects to get the ball rolling. Having successfully launched two companies and gone from zero to six figures within her first year, Prue's insights towards scaling your business are nothing but incredible. Listen as she tells the story of her beginnings and got to where she is today. Let's jump into our chat with Prue. Prue, welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm really pleased to have you. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Why don't we start with where you are in the world? What do you do and how did you get to be doing what you're doing?
Oh, great question. Funnily enough, right now I'm in a car park in front of my studio in Byron Bay. It seemed to me the most soundproof place because we're in a very open plan space here in Byron. So that's where I am right now, but it was definitely a meandering road to get here. Something that not a lot of people actually know about me because I do business development and mentoring now, but I actually started out as a psychologist. And ironically, that was, you know, about 15 years ago when I entered my working life here in Ballina, which is just around the corner right now. So I started off being a psychologist, doing a lot of one-to-one work, but I did find it quite limiting. And right from the get-go there, for the first few years of doing that, I knew that I wanted to have a bigger impact on the world. So after a few years, I left private practice of psychology and I traveled the world. I found myself in London, like many of us Aussie and Kiwis do, and just tried everything and anything. And ironically, ended up back in the healthcare system, but working in the business development department of a really large private hospital over there in London. So I kind of like, that's how I soireed into business development. And I'd never had an interest in business before until I randomly found myself in this place. And, you know, it just was so exciting, this concept that you could have an idea one day and bring it to life the next day. And, you know, I'm so passionate about being in the driver's seat of your own life. And business just presented this way to actually do that. So pretty early on, I was absolutely hooked on business and business development. So I spent a few years in that role. And then I came back to Australia and sort of faced a bit of a crossroads of whether to re-register myself as a psychologist here in Australia or whether to try something new. And I went for option B. I tried something new. And for me, that just meant starting out from scratch. So I'd never run my own business before. I really had no idea about the difference between working in business development for, you know, a large organization to actually being a startup and, you know, funding your own venture and being all of the departments all at once. So it was a really, really steep learning curve. And that was about 8 or 9 years ago now. I launched my first business and, you know, just figured things out along the way. It was a true startup journey. And as I got, you know, I learned more and more along the path and then I started teaching what I was learning. So business development, I did then one-on-one coaching for quite a few years and coached, you know, a number of businesses. I feel like I've seen every and any business out there now. I'd coach, you know, 25 companies at once or individuals and, you know, had a lot of fun doing it. But again, came back to this picture that I wanted to have bigger impact. So then about 3 years ago, I launched Owners Collective as a brand, which is my current business. And we started leveraging some different mentoring programs. So working with people right from their startup journey through to this, what I call a scale-up journey. So when they go from that solo operator, moving into building teams and that kind of thing. And yeah, that's kind of where I find myself today. I was based in Sydney for the past sort of 9 or 10 years and just moved to Byron Bay about 12 months ago, and just having so much fun here, so much expansion and abundance and all of those things. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. That's how I arrived at this car park sitting in front of my studio in Byron Bay.
I love that you're sitting there chatting to me from your car.
Yeah, the most soundproof of all places. It's fantastic.
Well, look, you know, right from the beginning of the Salon Owners Collective, which actually is celebrating its second birthday this very week that we are recording this.
Congratulations.
Thank you. You have been on my peripheral because I guess we have a name that is very similar to each other. And so you've been sort of around in my online peripheral and business the whole time. So I'm really pleased to be having this chat with you finally.
Yeah.
But the bit that I guess is close to my heart is this sort of the scaling up and this growing part and building a team. And that's something that is close to both of our hearts. And so I'm really keen to hear your what you've got to share with us today around those must-haves or the must-takes, as you put it, on those fundamental tips that you're going to share with us. So not even tips, actually, the fundamental must-haves.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, so why don't you talk to us a little bit about those things that you've seen, having worked with so many businesses in right from the beginning to that growth period, that fundamental growth period.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the first tip that I would share, or fundamental, exactly as you say, is just be you in business. Like, if you are loud, be loud. If you are crass, be crass. If you're barefoot, be barefoot. If you're, you know, well-polished, then be well-polished. What I see in the startup market in particular is that everyone's playing this game of, you know, I should do this. And they're living in this complete world of shoulds. And when we've got business owners who live in a world of shoulds, they all end up looking the same. And that is not what is going to build a successful business. It's just not. Like, the market is too cluttered these days to be the same as everyone else. Now, instead of them thinking, you know, off the back of that, okay, well, I've consciously got to make myself different, the beautiful thing is that just by our very nature, we are all completely different. So we all have this unique set of skills, experience, passions, drivers. Like, you know, you and me are completely different, as is everyone that is listening to this podcast. So the quickest way to stand out from the crowd is actually just to be yourself, you know. And we're talking to a lot of salon owners today. You know, I've been to numerous different salons, and everyone who's in there is different. So just really owning your uniqueness and letting that just spill out through your business, you know, not trying to be anyone else, but instead just being truly, authentically you, showing up like that, letting that go out in your marketing, letting that go out in your social media. And that's what's really going to give your business personality and that real kind of cut through in the market, because it is unique to what's out there. So that's probably where I'd start. First of all, is, you know, the really lovely simple one, which I think we just all need reminding of sometimes, is just really simply be you.
I really love that, because it actually gives us a lot more freedom.
Mm.
It actually means that we don't have to live up to anybody else's standards except for our own. Mm. And yeah, it takes the pressure off, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And you know what? It makes the whole shebang a whole lot easier. If you don't have to be anyone else, and you can just be yourself and amplify yourself, like, you save yourself tons of money in marketing.
No, I also think, though, that actually that's also really scary to be up, to be yourself and to stand up and be who you are. Because sometimes, well, two things, you know, sometimes we don't know who we are or what we like or how we like it. But it also means that we put ourselves up to be judged.
Yeah, I think so. I think it is. And, you know, I'm doing a lot of work and research and talking at the moment about courage. And I really think it does take courage, because to stand out there, it's the most vulnerable position that you'll be in. Because you do need to potentially stand alone and say, this is who I am and this is what I'm all about. And for me, standing in that vulnerability is the truest testament of courage.
Great.
And I think off the back of that as well is, you know, one thing that I love about business ownership, which isn't really talked about too much, but I just think it is the fast track to personal development, because you do have to stand up. You do have to stand alone. You do have to have a look at those parts of yourself, which maybe are a little bit confronting. And maybe that's about charging what you're worth, or maybe it is about being seen. These things that, you know, if we were to work for a big corporation in our you know, little boxed suite, then we wouldn't necessarily have to look at those things. But as a business owner, you absolutely do. So I personally think that business owners are some of the most courageous people out there, because it does take courage every single day to show up, to be authentically you, and to take the risks that we all take on a daily basis.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really well said. It is courage, because what happens too is that we start doing things that other people don't actually understand.
Exactly.
And why are you doing that? Why would you leave a cushy job to take risk? Why would you go outside and do, I don't know, I think we do get judged not only for how we show up, but for people don't understand what it is that we do or why that we do.
Absolutely, absolutely. And don't get me wrong, we are all a little bit stark raving mad to do it. But we also wouldn't have it any other way, you know. And no. I think that's a good thing to remember. When times get tough, because they do in business ownership, a really great question just to ask yourself is, well, what else would I do? And for me, sometimes I ask myself that question, you know, when there's a lot going on, you might be overwhelmed and all those things. It's like, well, there's actually no other option. Like, I can't, now that I've done this by myself, I can't go back and work for someone else. Like, it's just not even an option. So there's courage in the reality of the situation as well.
Absolutely. So it's the place for the most personal development is when you're an entrepreneur, I think.
Absolutely. You just can't avoid it. And, you know, it's kind of one of those situations. Is it the chicken or is it the egg? You know, did you get into business to call up the self-development, or do you really want the self-development? That's why you step into business. I actually think it's part and parcel. I think the two are so intricately entwined with one another. That it's something for us all to be mindful of on one sense, and also grateful of. It does, owning your own business does bring up this beautiful opportunity to have an increased self-awareness, which is a wonderful thing in life.
Okay, tell us, we talked briefly about the financial side. Tell us your sort of must-take fundamentals around the finances.
Yes, right. So this would be my second fundamental component to being a business owner, and much more practical, but it is understanding your cash flow. And particularly because, I mean, you and I are both passionate about that scale up kind of arena. If you want to, as a salon owner, if you want to get a bigger floor space, if you want to start hiring, bringing people on, you need to understand how the money moves in your business. And not just how it moves today or yesterday, but even more importantly, is knowing how it's going to move in the future. So getting really skilled on cash flow forecasting, I think, is the biggest game changer in business that you can know. Now, I know as business owners, we get into these things because we start our own thing, our own gig, because we're really passionate about what we do. And finances is most often, and I'd say in 98% of cases, the thing that comes least naturally to us. So I would just encourage people, like, do some learning around understanding your finances. There's brilliant tools out there now. I'm sure a lot of people are using Xero or QuickBooks or things like that are making it a lot easier to understand. But go to a course or, you know, talk to your accountant, but really start to understand your numbers, because they are the closest thing to a crystal ball that you're going to get looking forward into the future of your business. And once you do have those kind, you understand the money movements and you have some predictions in place, that is what is actually going to give you the confidence to be able to scale moving forward.
Yes. Okay. I think that's really important, because I think too often we bury our head in the sand, maybe around the numbers, or we have a fear of Excel spreadsheets, or what is it that stops us from going and educating ourselves in that space?
Oh, look, I think we just, as we get older, we have a reluctancy to learn. I think, you know, when we're children, we jump on bikes, we climb things, we pick up a book, and we don't have that fear of failure. And I think as we get older, there is this kind of fear of failure, fear of jumping in, you know, fear of having that conversation with the accountant and looking like a bit of a dick, you know, you don't know your numbers, and that kind of embarrassment. And I think we just need to, like, wipe that out quick smart. So numbers aren't, like, there's no magic to it. It's pretty, you know, like, it's pretty cut and dry. So you just need to do a bit of education around it. And you never need to be the smartest person in the room. And I think as a business owner, you shouldn't ever try and be. Put your hand up. When you go to your accountant next, say to your accountant, like, can you explain that to me in black and white? Or say, you know, you need to explain that to me a different way. Or something that I even said to my accountant recently was, can you just draw me a picture of that? Like, I still don't understand. Can you just draw me a picture? And he did. And then I understood. And that was great. So use every opportunity that you can to, you know, to put up your hand and actually ask for help. It is, don't be scared of the numbers, because they're not going to bite you. They're not going to catch on fire. And the people around that know about the numbers are usually pretty happy to help out with them. So, yeah, I think it's just a skill that we just kind of need to lean into, put our hand up and say, well, I don't know about it. I need to do some learning.
Yeah, okay. I think that's great. Have a good relationship with your accountant.
Yeah, absolutely. And if your accountant is not willing to teach you, like, we all pay our accountants a significant amount of money. And if they're not willing to teach you about how the numbers move in your business, then they're not the right accountant. Go to an accountant that you do feel comfortable with and that is willing to explain things to you, because you're paying for the, you're paying your accountant anyway. So it's an optimal place to get educated about specifically the numbers in your business.
Yes, I agree. I had a fantastic relationship with my accountant who, when you said about drawing, he actually did a session with me and my 2IC where he got buckets and lollies. And he
Fantastic.
It was so amazing. They were big nappy buckets all the way down to little ice cream containers and little Tupperware containers. And we learnt the flow of money using and transferring the lollies from bucket to bucket as it moved through my business. Now, how amazing is that? He was awesome.
That's incredible. Yeah. And I love hearing stories like that. And it just makes the world of difference, you know. And I think, I mean, this is kind of, I told you I might go on a tangent, but I feel like money is, it's really attached to our self-worth as well. And, you know, so not only does understanding numbers in your business give you confidence, but it also, you know, in terms of just our self-worth of going, yes, I'm a business owner, and yes, I understand the money and how it moves in my business. It is huge. And the whole feeling that you have about running your business is going to completely change when you have confidence in that area.
And also separating yourself from the business. Is this like,
oh, yes,
you are not your business. And so the business needs to be a living, breathing entity that pays you, that, but it needs to be able to survive on its own, separate to you.
Yes, 100%. 100%. Because you didn't just, you know, leave your wherever you were working previously just to give yourself a job, you know, where you and the business are all in one. But the business is a separate entity, exactly as you say. And separating yourself from that and making sure that, you know, you're sustained and that the business is sustained and that they're separate, I think is a really worthwhile point to make.
Okay. So if we've got our finances, we've got ourselves showing up and being ourselves, we've got our finances tucked away, and we know how money moves in our business. What's next? What do we need to think about next?
Yeah, so the third fundamental component that I'd love to mention is putting a really great support team around you. So one of the things, actually, I think it was just this week or last week, the World Health Organization said that the biggest illness that exists out there in the world at the moment is depression. And this is, I mean, between depression and anxiety, they have got business owners by the balls. It's a very isolating place to be. And, you know, even if you've got, you know, staff around you as the owner of a business, it can still be very, very isolating because you don't have necessarily people, confidants to talk to, and to have open conversations with about when you are feeling, you know, anxious about the money, or you are feeling, you know, whatever it might be. So it can be, whether you're a sole trader or you're a company with staff, being the actual owner of a business can be a very lonely and very isolating place. So this is a huge, something that I talk a lot about, and that is putting a really great support team around you. So that might be a mentor. It might be listening to a podcast like this. It might be creating a little mastermind between a few salon owners. It might be making a little mastermind of people that are local to your area that might not be salon owners but might have different businesses, just so you can have those really realistic conversations that business owners need to have in a really honest and authentic way, and have people around you that understand the highs and lows that you're going through, that are going to support you through those times. I just think this is, if there really was a you know, a game changer in business. I think I said that about the last point, but I mean it about this one as well, is get a really great support team around you. And yes, they can be people of, you know, with the same craft as you, they can be different as well, but just, yeah, having them as business owners, as mentors, and, you know, people that know things that you don't, or that are there to support you when times get tough.
Yeah, I really love that too. And being clear that people that run a business like you do, we think differently, and our staff or even our significant other, husbands and the like, don't necessarily get what's going on for us. They're not always the best confidants, as you say. Other people doing the same in the similar position or slightly different, they're the ones that actually get you. You don't have to be alone.
Absolutely. And I actually, maybe it's just my significant other, but I think most of them, they really don't understand, you know, and it's, they're not necessarily the best person to talk to about it. I mean, if you can kind of keep the business stuff, you know, not completely separate from your relationship, but you can draw a little bit of a line in the sand, I think that's a wonderful thing to do. It just means that the business, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, Larissa, is making sure that the business is separate from you. Well, allow the business to have like that support network around it as well. Mm. So, yeah, I just think it just makes a world of difference, and it makes the whole show of running your own gig a lot more enjoyable if you know that there is other people out there going through the same thing, the highs and the lows, having the same challenges, but then are willing to step up and support you when need be as well.
Yeah, and just not to know that, well, to know that you're not going crazy or it's only happening to you. Why does that should always happen to me? Well, actually, sometimes.
Happens to us all.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I think social media doesn't help sometimes with that, because we put our best versions of ourselves out there and it looks like everybody else is doing amazing stuff and not having any of the crap, whereas actually we all have the crap, doesn't matter how awesome we are. Yeah, so
just, it just doesn't go on social media. That's the only difference.
Yeah, that's
right. I mean, just a little hack on that as well, if anyone listening to this is having that kind of feeling around social media, like if you get off Instagram and you feel worse than when you got on it, stop following people for a while. Like, just really get in the driver's seat of that. And if it doesn't make you feel good, change it. Like, if you want to get off Instagram for a little while, great. But even if you want to stop following some people, maybe they're competitors or maybe they're doing what you're doing, just stop following for a while. I remember in the very early stages of my business, I was doing a bit of that. It was a bit of this like comparison thing. I was like, hold on a minute, this is making me feel terrible and I can change it. I can just stop following these people. And I did. And then all of a sudden I was just back in my own universe, sitting in the driver's seat. And, you know, all of a sudden without that kind of comparison situation, it's like, you know, the sky just opened up and I was in this blue space for creation again. So yeah, just, you know, a little tip for anyone, if you are feeling, you know, a bit crappy when you get off social media, yeah, just hit that unfollow button a few times.
That's right. If you don't know, don't like where you're hanging out, leave.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's awesome tip. That's perfect. Now, look, you being an entrepreneur and business owner, tell us, what is a quote or a mantra that keeps you sane? What's something that you live by that you can
share? Oh, goodness, there's so many. I am a bit of a quote nerd, I must say. But there is one that I always come back to, and that's one by Margaret Mead. And it's not specific to business, but the quote is, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." And I just love that quote, because I just think it just reminds me that we do run our own worlds. We are sitting in the driver's seat and we do sit in, you know, this place of creation about the world that we want to create in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell us, what is a resource, a podcast or a book or something that you have found inspiring or useful that we should get amongst as well?
Well, I'm absolutely into podcasts at the moment, which is fabulous because I'm speaking on one. And of course, everyone should be listening to this podcast. The other one that I'd recommend is How I Built This by Guy Raz. And he interviews some really great entrepreneurs of our time, you know, the founder of Starbucks and Airbnb and Spanx. That's actually my favorite episode, is the woman that started Spanx. And I love it because it really is the nitty gritty of how they launched these empires. And I think it just rings home that we all started somewhere. We've all had cash flow issues that we've all had to go and knock on the door and cold call from time to time. And just to see what people have created from really, really humble beginnings. And he also, as a podcaster, is a fantastic storyteller. So, yeah, that would be my number one on my list at the moment is How I Built This with Guy Raz.
Awesome. That's great. I will be going. I'm ready for a new one on Nile Library, so I will be looking that one up immediately.
Oh, do it. I recently drove from Sydney back to Byron Bay, and I just come across that podcast, and I listened to it for 9 hours straight. I didn't
know. Oh, golly.
Yep. Even when I stopped for petrol, I was still listening to the podcast.
That's awesome. All right. Look, you've been a wealth of knowledge, and I really appreciate some of your must takes. It's been really, really great. Where can people find you? What's your dub-dub?
Absolutely. So we are www.theownerscollective.com. And then on all of the social handles, Instagram, Facebook, all the rest, we are just Owners Collective. So
you've been amazing. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your wisdom.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful. And all the best to everyone out there on this wild ride of entrepreneurship.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Thanks, Lewis.
Well, that wraps another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Now, I've been following Prue for quite a while now, so I was super excited to chat with her finally and share her goodness with you. Now, hands up if you've ever felt the pressure of being ever present on every single social media platform. My hand is up for sure. There are so many of them out there, it's truly exhausting. So what if I told you that you don't have to be on all of them? And that you, if you don't love a particular platform, you don't have to be on it. Running a business, for the most part, should bring you joy. And a huge part of that is cutting out the things that you actually don't enjoy and introducing more of the things that you do. For me, I just like Twitter. It's not really my thing. I don't really get it. And I've put that strategy aside, and I put my energy into mastering Instagram instead, which is a heck of a lot more fun. I'm hugely enjoying Instagram stories. So much fun there. Now, it is tempting to be everywhere because you think that your audience, your customers, are also everywhere too. And that the more places you are, the more chances you are to get people to buy from you, book from you. And if you're not on each platform, that there's a bit of FOMO and you feel like you're missing out. Well, no, it's not true. You're actually better off strategically choosing a few social media platforms or even one and doing it really, really, really well. Now, if Facebook is your thing, and I know one or two things to be true. If Facebook's your jam, you are inundated with messages to make bookings. What's the price? Can you do this hairstyle? And it's keeping you up at night. Or maybe it's just that you can't seem to get your page engagement up and it's driving you nuts with all the social media posting and the images and the words that you're creating, and it's just not getting any reach with the latest algorithm. So I have a solution for you. What if I told you I have something to solve both of those problems? You need to know about this. It's called Salon Bot, and I want to help you with both of these problems. So if you want to know more, search Facebook for Salon Bot, send me a message and we'll chat.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.